The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. John bore witness, 'I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him.' I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God.' The next day, again, John was standing with two of his disciples. And he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God.' The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, 'What are you seeking?' And they said to him, 'Rabbi,' which means teacher, 'where are you staying?' He said to them, 'Come, and you will see.' So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, 'We have found the Messiah,' which means Christ, and he brought him to Jesus." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Grace to you
and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, this is what you shall offer on the altar: two lambs a year old, day by day, regularly. One lamb you shall offer in the morning, and the other lamb you shall offer at twilight. And with the first lamb, fine flour mixed with oil, and some wine for a drink offering. The other lamb you shall offer at twilight, and shall offer with it a grain offering and a drink offering, as in the morning. It shall be a regular burnt offering throughout your generations at the entrance tent of meeting before the Lord, where I will meet with you and speak to you there." That's from Exodus chapter 29. How does one approach God or speak with God? Regardless of the gods in question, man has always assumed that such access to the divine required some sacrifice. Agamemnon sacrifices his daughter, Iphigenia, so that Artemis would grant the 1,000 Greek ships good winds heading to Troy. The Carthaginians at war with the Romans would sacrifice babes to Moloch. There were lots of other more minor sacrifices. The most common might have been food and drink offering to the Lares and Penates, the household gods, or the pinch of salt, sealing a pledge, the most famous being the loyalty oath to the divine Caesar. When one approached the gods, one did not come empty-handed. Of course, the logic of sacrifice, I think, makes intuitive gut sense. But when you start thinking about it, it falls apart. As Yahweh would say, "Do I eat the flesh of bulls or the blood of goats? If I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you. For the world and its fullness are mine." If your God needs your food, it isn't much of a God. And if all we are doing is entering into some type of transaction, that seems an awfully tawdry concern for a deity. And we shouldn't think that we are far removed from such things. It was just in the news the other day that Hamtramck, Michigan approved animal sacrifices within their city bounds. The new Israeli government is opening up the Temple Mount, heading towards thinking about a third temple. All such things are the rage in a younger set proudly proclaiming to be witches. And honestly, what is the difference between a modern hospital and the ancient temples of Asclepius for most people? We are often so desperate to hang on to this life that we will turn over our very selves. We could argue back that the modern hospital has a better track record. And yeah, I wouldn't deny that. But only for a time. Yet there it is in Exodus. God establishing a daily round of sacrifice. A lamb, some grain, and some wine. Morning and evening. Here is where I will meet with you. I'm convinced that John the evangelist must have had Matthew, Mark, and Luke in front of him when he wrote his gospel, because John doesn't really retell the story so much as add color and depth. Maybe you could say some contemplation. If Matthew, Mark, and Luke are the play-by-play announcers, John's the color commentator. He wants to tell you what's really happening. So instead of just retelling the story of the baptism of Jesus, John treats that in passing. I saw the Spirit descend from heaven, and it remained upon him. But what does this mean? According to John the Evangelist and John the Baptist, it means three things. First, that this is he who baptizes by the Holy Spirit, that this is the Son of God. Second, that he was before me. And third, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. I've worked backwards in those from the actual text, because the first couple are not our focus today, and we'll treat them only briefly. This is the Son of God. That could actually have many meanings in that world. At various times, David, the kings, Israel herself could be described as the Son of God. Augustus was the son of a god. It was simply a messianic title. This is the anointed one of God. But what exactly this anointed one means for us isn't clear from that title. By saying he was before me, John is making a much deeper statement. The physical Jesus that he's pointing at as the Messiah is younger than John by 6 months. His prophetic work is just beginning. John is the prophet right now. This is John saying, I'm the forerunner. I came baptizing with water that he might be revealed to Israel. Who might be revealed? The Lord, God himself, the one who was before all things, the one through whom all things were made. This Jesus is that one. He was before me and everything. But again, what does the appearance of the Lord mean for us? Is the axe already at the root of my tree? Are we to be leveled or raised up? Behold. Look at him. Really see Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. What had Israel been offering on those altars day and night all these years? A lamb. What does Israel eat that provided the blood that such that the angel of death would pass them over? A lamb without blemish. What was provided to Abraham when he went to sacrifice his son? A lamb. Israel, look and see. This one is the lamb. This is the one who God has provided for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Your entire history, all of your sacrifices, they have been about this Jesus. They were merely the shadows of one reality. God has always provided the lamb to cover your sins. But let's look at those shadows again for a second. What was to be offered alongside the lamb? The finest flour mixed with oil and some wine. A grain offering and a drink offering. The stuff of bread and wine. Where is our lamb? In the bread and wine. When we eat and drink, this is the one who comes to us and death passes over us. Our sins have been forgiven and are remembered no more. Israel, behold, the Lamb of God, given for you. Where does God meet with us? Right here. We have access by the Lamb, given by God. There's a second question that meeting God brings up. What are you seeking? Your sins have been forgiven. And we might think that that answers everything. And maybe it should, but it doesn't. Because when we are seeking God, what are we seeking? Many times we're simply seeking a divine vending machine. Let me put in my sacrifice, and hopefully out pops what I really want. Maybe we're seeking power. That's what the rulers of Israel wanted from their Messiah. It's our turn to be the world empire. All those pagan sacrifices aren't that foolish. They were offering what people were seeking. There are lots of things. They will offer you exactly what you are seeking. If you are seeking the power of God for any number of various ends, be that health or wealth or power itself, they will promise all of those. If that's what you're seeking when you come to meet Jesus, you'll leave disappointed. Like a rich young ruler once left. Like the Pharisees and scribes, because here you meet the Lamb of God, the Lamb who takes away your sins, the Lamb who bids you come and see. And what you see is not the power and the glory, but a man led outside the city to a cross. What you see is one who offers up his life and came to be the servant of all. What you see is a man who preaches a kingdom not of this world. What you see is a man who bids you follow him and to pick up your cross. What are you seeking? If you're seeking the world, turn around. That isn't here. If you are seeking the Lamb and his forgiveness, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Andrew found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," and he brought him to Jesus. Everybody at some time wants to talk with God. They are looking for him in various different places. And in such a land of deep darkness, a light has come. And you have met that light. You have beheld him. And today, that light is full of his grace and truth. And like John the Baptist and Andrew and then Simon, like any chain of witnesses from that great cloud of witnesses, we are called to give our own witness, to testify concerning the light, to live lives of grace and truth. But we have been given in abundance, we share. Will it always be what they are seeking? Probably not. The world and all those other things we sacrifice to is awfully enticing. But even at the 10th hour, Christ makes room for those who come. And he's happy over the one who would stay. The Lion of Judah comes soon enough. Today, behold the Lamb given for you. Amen.